So good morning, Central. Hey, if you're watching us live stream this morning, I want to welcome you. Oh, wait, you're all watching us live stream this morning. Welcome to the Central 70. God bless you. If you have a Bible this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 5, very first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. This is a serious time in our world. People have died and will continue to contract COVID-19. I don't mean to make light of it, but in the midst of it, I think we need to keep our sense of humor. In every crisis, there's good and bad, and this crisis is no exception. The bad news is all air travel to Italy has been suspended. The good news is you can still get two medium pizzas for $5.99 at Domino's. The World Health Organization, or WHO as it's known, has announced that dogs cannot contract COVID-19. So dogs previously held in quarantine can now be released. To be clear, who let the dogs out? For over 2,000 years, Satan has been trying to extinguish the light of Christianity. My title of my message this morning is, It's Time to Shine. When things get tough, Satan wants the light of the church to go out. But the Apostle John said that the light of Christ shines in the darkness and can never extinguish it. The light of the church and the light of Christ, no matter how much Satan seeks to extinguish it and put it out, just won't. Like one of those annoying relightable candles, it just won't go out. And Christ continues to shine through the church and through his people. There we go. It came up one more time. In the onslaught of global fear and darkness, now is our time to shine. The light shines in the darkness, and the coronavirus cannot extinguish it. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5. If you have your Bibles, turn to verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it underneath a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand or on a table where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Jesus says, let your good deeds or your good works shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Jesus said, Christians are the only light, the only hope of the world. Jesus himself is the only source of hope for humanity. No one lights a lamp, Jesus says, and then hides it or covers it. Instead, they put it on top of the table. They make the lamp or the light visible, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And Christian friends, this is our time to be visible. This is our time to shine. Now, I believe that God is saying, when the house gets dark, don't hide the light. When the house gets dark, don't hide the light. And friends, things are getting dark in the world. I don't know about you. Have you sensed the fear and the panic and the hysteria surrounding the spreading of this virus? The house indeed is getting dark. Anxiety is suffocating our society. And God wants us shining, visible on the table, not hidden under a basket somewhere. And so my question to you this morning is, are you about to hide or shine? Withdraw or advance? Cower or power? What does it look like to shine Christ's light in times of darkness? I just want to share three really quick thoughts about what can we do to shine Christ's light in the midst of darkness. Number one is this: serve the vulnerable. Serve the vulnerable. Throughout history, Christians have stepped into opportunities to serve the weak and the marginalized. Crisis creates opportunities to serve those around us. William Booth was a Christian preacher in the late 19th century. In 1890, he published a book called In Darkest England and the Way Out. He began developing opportunities to build homes for the homeless, shelters for fallen women, homes for released prisoners, legal aid for the poor, and practical help for the alcoholic. He determined to share the light of Christ in the dark hours of England, the late 19th century. Christ's light of redemption shined brightly through the life of William Booth. In this hour, will it shine brightly through yours? Henry Dunant, this Christian banker and businessman was the impetus behind the forming of the Red Cross. He witnessed nearly 40,000 casualties in the Battle of Solferino, the second battle in the Italian War of Independence. He proposed the formation in all countries of voluntary relief societies for the prevention and alleviation of suffering in war and peacetime, without distinction of race or creed. Christ's light of mercy and peace shined brilliantly through the life of Henry Dunant. In this hour, will it shine through yours? Tomorrow, I'll be meeting with a group of local pastors to discuss helping our community during this crisis, specifically caring for the elderly who may not have the resources that they need, and caring for low-income children who may not have adequate food if they miss school. Again, Jesus said, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Jesus and his disciples did not withdraw from the sick and the vulnerable. In fact, they walked toward them. They walked to the pain, not away from it. What if your family, or your life group, or you and your circle of friends, or your business found one way to serve the vulnerable in this hour? What would it look like for you to walk toward the weak, to walk toward the vulnerable? Remember, when the house gets dark, don't hide the light. Apart from serving the vulnerable, we can shine with Christ's light by speaking with faith. Speaking words of faith. Did you know that words have incredible influence? Like this virus, your words are highly contagious. They will either spread hope or fear. Jesus, in his teaching in Matthew chapter 6, the context is anxiety. The context is worry about having the things that we need in life. Jesus warned us about negative words. He said this beginning in verse 30. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Jesus says the Gentiles, meaning those that aren't following God, those that don't know Christ, that the Gentiles eagerly pursue or seek all of those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. As I listen to the world, as I listen to the voices around me, most are negative. Most are weighed with unbelief and not faith. We shine the light of Christ in our culture when our words convey trust and faith in God's provision. If we who know the greatness of God speak words of unbelief, what will an unbelieving world think? How will an unbelieving world have hope if the words that come out of our mouths don't have faith? Remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your mouth will reveal faith, or it will reveal unbelief. The litmus test of faith is seen in how we speak, the words that we say in difficult times, not in easy times. Do we believe that God is in control? A verse I've tried to memorize lately is Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. David said, "Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all those who will come." David said, "God, let until the very end of my life, let me declare your power to the generation I find myself in and your strength to all those that are coming up. Let my words have weight and authority. Let them be influential. Let me tell of the greatness of God with my words until I die." Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Think about that saying, to declare your steadfast love for me in the morning and your faithfulness at night. David said, I get up every morning and I declare the great love that God has for me, that God wants to take care of me, that God wants to provide for my needs, to declare the steadfast love in the morning. As I begin my day, I'm declaring the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God in my life. And then he says, when I end my day, when my head's about to hit the pillow, I declare the faithfulness of God. I begin my day by saying, God, I know you care about me. I trust that you're for me. This is going to be a good day. And I end the day by looking back and saying, God, you were faithful today. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. He didn't say, think about it. He said, declare it. Let the words that come out of your mouth declare the steadfast, faithful love of God and his faithfulness in every area of our lives. We are to declare the greatness of God in times of darkness. And as we do that, the light of Christ shines brightly through us. Not only are we to shine the light of Christ by speaking with faith, but finally, I think we need to pray with power. This is a time to pray. We shine the light of Jesus when we pray. And I'm not talking about wimpy prayers. We need power prayers. Prayers that bring the kingdom of God to the earth. Prayers that bring heaven down. Prayers that release God's authority in the earthly realm. And power prayer is scripture prayer. Friends, it's time that we begin to know and understand and memorize and meditate upon his word. And let his word guide our prayers. Let his word add power to our prayers. We need to be thinking about and praying about verses like Romans 8:31, which says, what shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper or have success. 1 John 4:4, greater is God in you than he, Satan, who is in the world. Let me say it again. Greater is God in you than Satan, who is in the world. In everything Satan conspires, God is greater. Psalm 136 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. That's a prayer, friends. That's a power prayer. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me because they give me protection. I walk through the deepest, darkest valleys of life with confidence because God is with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. His rod, his staff as the shepherd comfort me that wild beasts are not going to consume me. I will not be overtaken because I walk through this life with the shepherd. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it's he who delivers us from the snare of the trapper and the deadly pestilence. And I forgot the rest. I was going to quote the whole thing. You cover us with your pinions, and under your wings we seek refuge. Your faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Therefore, we will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. It won't come near us. We'll just look with our eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. Therefore, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. In their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You'll tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the adder, you'll trample down. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. Then he'll call to me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. What if that was turned into a prayer? What if you walk through the day with scripture verses in your mind, praying those power prayers, those scripture prayers? People around you would begin to see the faith of Christ, the light of Jesus shining brightly through your life as you boldly declare that God is good As you boldly declare the protection of God over your life, that no weapon formed against you will have success because of God's goodness in your life. Friends, this is a time to shine. It's a time to serve the vulnerable. It's a time to speak words of faith, not doubt and unbelief. And it's a time to pray with power. And I'm calling on you today to pray with power over your children, over your oikos, over your city. Pray with power over your political leaders. Pray with power over your church. Pray with power in Scripture over the fearful and the anxious and the weak. Jesus shines through us when we pray that his kingdom will come and his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. President Trump has announced that today is a national day of prayer. He's calling the nation to prayer, to pray for this coronavirus outbreak and its implications. And I've asked part of our team to come this morning as you sit in your living rooms or wherever you are. I'm asking you to pray with us. They're going to pray into some areas related to this crisis. Please join us in prayer.
Let us pray for the church to rise in power in these dark times. Father, we come before you acknowledging that you are still on your throne, still sovereign, and unrattled and unshaken by world events. King Jesus, we come before you as your church, locally and globally, fixing our eyes on you, our hope. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would embolden your church to do your work and be a light in this time. Let this not be a work of ourselves, but by your supernatural power. We pray that we, your church, would be a source of peace and hope, your lasting peace and hope that supersedes our circumstances. We trust that those who hope in you will not be disappointed. Give us unity as your people. We give you praise in this time and always.
Join me in praying for our local and national leaders. Father, let's put the words of Scripture, 1 Peter 2:13, that you have sovereignly placed these leaders, God, to guide us in times just like these. Lord, but through the power of your Spirit, would you empower them, God, with wisdom, God, to know what to do in a world of chaos and uncertainty. Would you fill them, God, with courage to take the necessary steps, God, to look past political agendas and do what's right for the marginalized in our world. And finally, would you bless them with a creativity? God, you know how complex our world is, Lord, but by the power of your Spirit, would you fill them, God, with wisdom and creativity to find simple solutions, God, for us to get to the other side of this and see, God, your kingdom grow and expand because of it. And we trust you to guide them well. Amen.
Would you join me in praying for the weak and the elderly among us who are vulnerable especially? Lord, we come to you today and we ask, God, for your protection over the elderly and the weak among us. God, we ask for your protection against this virus in Jesus' name. We ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would just envelop them, that your presence would be very near and very real, Lord, that your protection would be over them and over their bodies. Lord, surround them with your love and your goodness, Lord. Surround them with people who will come to their aid, God, and bring them the physical and emotional and spiritual and mental strength that they need in this time, God. May you help us to be those that meet their needs, God. And according to Philippians 4:19, we agree, God, may you supply all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.
Join me as we pray for a swift end to this crisis. God, we just pray that you move in a supernatural way, God, that you bring, God, about an end to this quickly so that life can resume, God. But during this time, God, help us to make the most of the days. God, help us to love our families well. God, help us to really see each other and hear each other, God. God, and when we leave what can be just an amazing time of rest and fellowship, God, and resume our lives, God, propel us well to bring about your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, God. Move and work, God, guide our leaders and give them wisdom and help us to follow it so that there can come an end. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Join me in prayer as we pray for spiritual revival in Sioux Falls, in our nation, and around the world. Father, there is so many different emotions and experiences going on. But I ask that the people in Sioux Falls, people in our nation and around the world, would get a tangible glimpse of the hope that's found in you. Father, that the hope of Jesus would become clear and evident. Lord, that the hope of Jesus would be apparent in your churches, that it would create a new desire to not just to follow you, but to trust you, to act in behalf of you. Holy Spirit, would you move in the believers to shine brightly in all areas of the world so that the people would see the hope that is found only in you. Father, we know you're able to do great things, even in the midst of horrible circumstances. So Father, we declare our trust in you, and we ask that you would act through your Spirit through the believers here on earth so a revival would come. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope that we have in you. Amen.